Exodus chapter 22. You remember I had begun a brief series which I entitled A Christian and Debt. And once again, Chester and Susie asked the question. This is the second time in a row they're not here. And so he better listen to the tape at least three times. All right. Exodus chapter 22. And let's begin reading there with verse 25. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. Now the passage that I've just read in Exodus chapter 22 is biblical law. Now in order to understand ethics and justice, we must understand biblical law. And we must understand the case laws in the Bible. A proper understanding of case law will enable us to apply biblical principles in our daily decisions and activities. When you talk about case law, remember there are three critical points. First of all, in the Bible, there is a very broad principle, such as one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not steal. Secondly, there is a specific case that will illustrate that principle. And then thirdly, you must make the proper application of that principle to your situation and to your set of circumstances. I mentioned this before, that the Bible gives us all of the answers in principle and in germ form. If God spelled everything out, we would not be able to carry our Bibles around. So the Old Testament then is full of case law. And case law is nothing more than justice and truth and biblical ethics encapsulated. So once you grasp the biblical law then, you're grasping the principles of justice and truth. And so God places the truth before us then in encapsulated forms that we may be readily able to apply that truth. Now, remember as I pointed out in the introduction, when I dealt with Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, where God says, owe no man anything, that out of nearly 50 direct passages in the Bible concerning debt and 20 indirect passages, not one passage is positive. All are negative. Debt is universally condemned in the Bible. It is never encouraged. And yet at the same time, there are times when we must lend. And there are other times that we may even be lent unto. Now, what are these occasions? And what are the restrictions? What are the limitations? Or what are the regulations? Well, as you look in Exodus chapter 22, the Lord gives us an illustration of one of those limitations and one of those restrictions. Now, what I'm about to deal with today, and I'll probably have to continue next week because I will not finish. What I'm about to deal with today is known as a poor loan or a brotherly loan or a charity loan. Now, please let me distinguish for you in your mind and make sure that you understand this. What I'm not talking about today is a business venture. What I am not talking about is a commercial loan. I believe that there are times, and I'm going to show it to you in the Bible in just a moment, there are times when interest and usury may be lawfully charged. For instance, look in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. This that I'm going to show you today is another aspect. It is a different situation. I'm not talking about a poor loan when I read this to you. But in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 3, the Word of God says this, of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thine brother, thine hand shall release. Now, he's talking about the sabbatical year, the year of release in verses 1 through 2. And God says, whatever your brother owes you, you have to wipe it out. But what a foreigner owes you, you may exact it again. Look in verse 6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, and as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Now, if you're lending to other nations, that is a commercial loan, and I'm going to show you in just a moment that usury or interest may be lawfully charged in that aspect. Look in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12. In fact, let's go to Deuteronomy 23 first. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 23 verse 20. Here's a point blank statement, and I'll explain this one before I finish today. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand unto in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So he says, unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but not your brother. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. He says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain in the land in his season, and to bless all thy work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And when you get to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 25, you remember the parable of the talents. The one individual who received one talent took it and hid it in the earth. And when the Lord returned, he went and dug it up. And he told the Lord, he said, I knew thee that thou art an austere man, that thou reapest whether thou hast not strown, and gathered where thou hast not sown. Here is that which thine is. And what did our Lord say? Our Lord said, thou wicked and slothful servant. He said, thou mightest have given it to the banker that I might receive it at usury, with usury at my return. In other words, here was an interest bearing incident. So the point I'm trying to make is not all interest is condemned in the Bible. I'll explain just a little bit later. But if you go back to Exodus chapter 22, what we're dealing with today, once again, is a poor loan or a charitable loan or a loan to the brethren. The very first thing I want you to note today is notice that the context of these charitable loans are to the brethren. And especially unto the poor brethren. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 25, God says, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee. Now note that phrase, that is poor by thee. Turn over in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus chapter 25 and just mark these passages. We're going to come back to them in just a moment. But in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35... Leviticus 25, verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Now I'll explain this verse a little bit later. But note, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay. Go back to your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and look at verse 7. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. Here it is in black and white again. He says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Then if you'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 19, this is the only exception where the brother is not classified as a poor brother. Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 19. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money. Usury of victuals. Usury of anything that is lent upon usury. So then here is a divine prohibition. God says when we're dealing with the brethren, and especially the poor brethren, there is to be no interest. There is to be no usury charged. Now, in each case, except Deuteronomy 23, verse 19, the brother is specifically classified as a poor brother. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 19, he may not necessarily be a poor brother, but at least he is a brother with a specific need. And I want you to note, if you would please, that in each one of these passages that I've read, that debt is discussed as a necessity. In other words, it is an emergency situation. It is a survival requirement, or what you and I would call a life-threatening situation. What is God telling us? God is telling us that debt is not to be the normal, everyday part of our life. We have come full circle in Christianity today. Unhappily, most Christians cannot function without debt and cannot live without debt. They've never, ever understood the principles taught in the Word of God of frugality and discipline and saving. They've never understood that indeed the borrower is servant unto the lender. I know one professing Christian brother who has personally been bankrupt three or four different times. And, you know, that boggles my mind, is how people can just be in debt to that extent constantly and consistently. But the context of each of these passages that we read, and I'm going to be looking at it, the context of borrowing or going into debt is indeed a survival situation. It is not what you and I would know as the ordinary, everyday aspect of life. If you look in Exodus chapter 22, let's go back to verse 21 and look at this passage in the context. He says in verse 21, "Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless." And then he says, "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." Now, in the context, I want you to note that it is a stranger, the widow, the fatherless child, and the poor that are all mentioned together. Now, stop and think about this. These different classes of people all have one thing in common. That is, they're helpless and they're dependent. They are what you and I would call economically vulnerable through no fault of their own. An orphan can't help the fact that his parents have died. A widow cannot help the fact that her husband has died. A stranger cannot help the fact that in the providence of God, he's been put in surroundings where he has no family. And then when God talks about the poor brother there in verse 25, I'll clarify this later, very clearly, he is not talking about an individual who is a drunkard and lazy and slothful and just simply will not work. He's talking about a poor brother who, through the providence of God, distress and hard times have fallen upon him through basically no fault of his own. Now, let me show you how important it is that you and I note that this is indeed what you and I would call an emergency situation. Let's go back to verse 25. He said, "If thou lend money to any of thy brother that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." Now watch verse 26. "If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the time that the sun goeth down. For that it is covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious." So the context of this charity loan, or this poor loan, in Exodus chapter 22, is the fact that the brother is so poor, the only thing that he has for collateral is the coat on his back. Now God says, this is a desperate situation. I mean, if the only thing you and I have as collateral are the clothes on our backs, then we're basically destitute. We're desperate. We're helpless. Now, God said, if you do take the coat for security, if you do take the coat as collateral, then you have to give it back before the sun goes down. Why? Because that's what the man sleeps in. In other words, that's his cover. Can't even afford a quilt. Cannot afford a blanket. Which once again shows you the desperate situation that the individual is in who's wanting to borrow the money. Now let me ask you a question. I don't know if you've thought about this or not. But why would a lender take a man's coat and hold it as collateral or security when he knows that he has to give it back before the sun goes down? To me, that would appear to be more trouble than it was worth. But why would anyone do that? Let me tell you why. In order to keep the poor brother from obtaining multiple loans on the same garment. In other words, what God is saying is this. We are not to have multiple loans on the same piece of collateral. Now I want you to look in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 17. Here is one exception. You cannot take one coat. Look at it. Deuteronomy 27, or 24 it is, and verse 17. Deuteronomy 24, verse 17. Here's a coat that is absolutely forbidden to be taken. God says, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. God said, you cannot take a widow woman's raiment to pledge. You can take the raiment of other individuals, but it is to prevent them from getting multiple loans on the same piece of collateral. Now, I'm going to develop this before I close, but I want you to understand, when God is talking about the poor in the Bible, the group of people that are referred to as poor are not defined by civil statute. What is poor? I would consider myself poor as compared to some folks. Wouldn't you? But compared to other folks, I'm excessively and filthy rich. You follow what I'm saying? And although I'm not rich. But if we were to look at the third world countries, if we were to even look at some of the people in our own American cities, we have more than we can ever shake a stick at. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. Who is it that determines what a poor brother is? It is the lender. It is not the state. You cannot have a civil definition of poor. And the reason why is the state is not the Messiah. The state is not the Savior. And once the state gets into it, which you shall see a little bit later, then it is nothing more than a corruption of what you and I would know as biblical charity. So it is the lender's determination then as to who does or does not receive a loan. For instance, if Bob and Don both come to me and say, Brother Weaver, I need to borrow $100. We're both destitute. If I happen to know that Bob has thrown his money away foolishly and Bob won't work consistently, why would I be inclined to help him? And when Don maybe has gotten into a dire need because maybe Anita's been sick or some other desperate situation, and if I only had the money to help one, which one do you think I would help? I'd help Don and not Bob, because Bob is more responsible. In other words, it's my determination. It's not the state's determination. The state is not to pass a law saying, you must be charitable, you must give, we're going to take so much from you. Because I'm going to show you that it is the state that makes biblical charity almost criminal. Now, I want you to look in your Bibles, beginning with Proverbs chapter 14, whole Exodus 22. Let me show you some scriptures concerning the poor in the Bible. And I want you to see, once again, the determination does not go to the state. Look in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 31. Proverbs 14 and verse 31. Look what the Bible says. He that oppresseth the poor, watch. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy upon the poor. Now God says if you oppress the poor, you're reproaching God. On the other hand, if you honor God, you're going to be merciful toward the poor. Look in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 5. Proverbs 17 and verse 5. God says, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. So once again, if we mock and make fun of the poor, God said it is a reproach to him. Look in Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Proverbs 21 verse 13. I like this verse. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Ah, do you see that? God said if we stop our ears at the cry of the poor, that is if we fail to help when we can help, then God says we shall cry ourselves, but we shall not be heard. Look in Proverbs 22, beginning there with verse 22. God says, rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gates, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Isn't that interesting? Now God says the determination as to whether or not we help the poor is ours. But he said, I want you to understand there is also a relationship between you and me. And if you're not merciful, then God says, I won't be merciful to you. If you don't help, then the time will come when you will cry and I won't help you. And if you mock the poor and if you reproach the poor, then God says you're mocking and reproaching me. If you look back in your Bibles to Psalm 12, Psalm 12, and note if you would please verse 5. Psalm 12 and verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, look what God says. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. So if you want to get God riled up, God says, start oppressing the poor and start mocking and reproaching them, and I will rise up and set the situation straight. Now, please let me emphasize this. I'm going to emphasize it again before I end today. When we're talking about helping the poor, we're not talking about subsidizing evil. Just because someone is standing on the street corner with a cup in his hand does not mean I'm going to throw money in that cup. I don't know if the man's a dopehead. I don't know if he's a drunkard. I don't know if he's a lazy, indolent individual. And what does God say? If any will not work, what? Neither should he eat. So I have a responsibility, whoever I help, to make sure that I do not subsidize wickedness and I do not subsidize evil. I've seen people standing beside the road begging and obviously hungry. I don't mind buying them a sandwich, handing them a sandwich and say, if you're hungry, here, eat it. But if I don't know the man, I'm not going to give him money to go out and buy drugs or drink with. He can just do without. So we have a responsibility to make sure whoever we help, it is not subsidizing wickedness and evil. So first of all, note if you would please, it is a poor brother, or at least a brother with a specific need. Secondly, I want you to go back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 22, because charitable loans are what you and I would call interest free loans. That is, we cannot charge usury or interest. In Exodus 22 and verse 25, he said, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be unto him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. The same thing in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 36, God says there is to be no usury. Look in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 19. Lest someone try to get around this, Deuteronomy 23 verse 19, God says, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. So, if George comes to me and he's hungry, and I said, now George, you know, I can't charge you interest because you're a money, you're a Christian brother, and so I'm not going to give you money because I can't charge interest on that, but I tell you what I will do. I'll give you 10 cans of beans and you bring me back 12 cans of beans. God says, no, you can't do that either. There's to be no interest charged on anything that you loan your poor brother. Why? Because God is the sovereign owner of the world. Do you remember Psalm 24 and verse 1? Help me out. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In Psalm 50, it's God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You see, we are merely His stewards. We are merely the recipients of God's mercy and God's grace. And let me tell you something, folks. It is only God's merciful providence. It's only God's graciousness unto us that we're not destitute ourselves. I want you to think about that. It is the mercy and the grace of God that we're not destitute ourselves. It is God who owns everything, and everything that God gives us, He gives us as a stewardship. Now, when you and I charge interest on a poor or charitable loan to a poor brother, what are we saying? God, you're not the sovereign owner of this. I am, and I don't care what you say. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And thus, I'm reproaching God and blaspheming God and literally denying His sovereignty. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19. I want to show you the collateral that you have in reality on a poor loan to a poor brother. In fact, it's the best collateral in the entire world. And here's why you do not need to charge interest. Proverbs chapter 19, look if you would please at verse 17. God says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he that is the Lord pay him again. So if I'm merciful to a poor brother, who am I really lending to? The Lord. And God says, I'll see that you get that which you loan. I don't know about you. That's the best cosigner that I've ever come across. Guarantees it absolute. You say, well, what if the brother doesn't pay me back? Doesn't matter. God said, I'll make sure that you're paid back. You will get your money and you will get it plus. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you charge the Lord interest? Would you? You say, well, of course not. Now watch. God says in verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. So these charitable loans then are loans to God, so to speak. Now listen, would you charge God interest? You say, of course I would not. I'll bet you have in time past. Some of you anyhow. In fact, Christians do it all the time. Have you ever bought a church bond? Some of you have, some of you haven't. You know what church bonds are? That is when you lend money to the church. And the church then turns around and offers you a certain rate of interest along with the principal to be paid back in a given period of time. So when God forbids us to charge usury or lend upon usury to a poor brother, it clearly and plainly prohibits interest on all charitable loans to other Christians, especially those loans to churches or to any Christian organization who are doing the work of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me go further. Any pastor who encourages his people to make interest-bearing loans to a church is violating the Word of God. Now, there may be a time when the church may have to borrow. But if it borrows from Christians, Christians are prohibited from charging interest. Why? Because it is money lent unto the Lord. Look in your Bibles to Psalm 15. Let me show you a description of the godly man. Then we'll show you two or three other verses that may shock you. Look in Psalm 15. Psalm 15, beginning there with verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now that's a good question. Who's going to live with God? Who's going to abide with God? Verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned or condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, watch. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, I want you to turn over in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15. Look, if you would, at verse 10. Now, Jeremiah was a hated man because of the message that he preached. And his defense of himself, look what he says. Jeremiah 15, verse 10. He said, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. Jeremiah said, everybody seems to be upset with me. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. Jeremiah said, I don't understand how everybody can hate me just for preaching the truth. I'm not a usurer. I don't loan on usury. And I don't receive any interest on anything. Now, turn to Ezekiel 18 and get ready. I want to show you a very powerful passage. Ezekiel 18. And let's begin reading there with verse 5. Ezekiel 18, verse 5. Look at what God says. Ezekiel 18, verse 5. He says, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a minstrous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. And he that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall live, saith the Lord God. Now watch this. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, here it is, hath given forth upon usury and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 13 puts lending upon usury as one of those crimes that merits the death penalty. And in this context, it would have to be lending upon usury to a poor brother or to a Christian brother. And God says, those who do that deserve the death penalty. I wonder, Has it ever crossed the minds of preachers and Christians that the reason we have so many dead churches is that we violated this law and God has killed us spiritually, some physically, but some spiritually? I want you to look back in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 22 and verse 25. Exodus 22, verse 25. I want you to note a very significant word. Exodus 22, verse 25. He says, "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee." What's the significant word? If thou lend money. In other words, God does not compel us to lend. Now, He's certainly given us very persuasive arguments and very persuasive reasons why we should lend to the poor brethren and that we should lend interest-free. But the fact is, He leaves that up to our discretion. Look in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25, verse 35. Let me show you. "And if thy brother be waxen poor, and fallen into decay with thee, then thou shalt receive him, yea, though it be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him, nor increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee." Now, I don't know if this question has entered into your mind or not, but Leviticus 25, verses 35 and 36, extends these no-interest charitable loans to not just the Israelites per se, but even those strangers and sojourners who had come in to live with Israel. Now, look in your Bibles, whole Leviticus. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23. And let's go down to verse 20. Deuteronomy 23, verse 20. Are you ready? Deuteronomy 23, verse 20. "Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it." Now he says, "Unto a stranger thou mayest lend unto usury." Now look back in your Bibles, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35. "And if thy poor brother, or if thy brother be waxen poor and be fallen into decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or sojourner, that he may live with thee." Now, is there a contradiction here? Verse 35 says, the charitable interest-free loan is to be given to the poor brother by thee, or the stranger, the sojourner. But when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 20, he says, "Unto a stranger you may charge interest." Is there a contradiction? And the answer is absolutely no. The stranger in Leviticus 25 and verse 35, the Hebrew word there is the word ger. The word sojourner is the Hebrew word toshab. The stranger and the sojourner were what you and I would call resident aliens. In fact, the Hebrew word literally means to sit or to remain or to be settled or to dwell. So in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 35, what you have then are people from outside of Israel coming into Israel, professedly to worship the one true and the living God, and submitting themselves to the covenant. And though they are not true Israelites, so to speak, God says, yet they are making a profession of faith. They are living by you, and as they are obeying the covenant, and so therefore you extend to them this interest-free loan as well. But when you get to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 20, the word stranger there is nokri, which means a foreigner. It means someone who has absolutely no connection with the faith, someone with no connection to the covenant. Now let me go and make an application. If I have a poor brother in this assembly, and I have the wherewithal to lend unto him, and he's a worthy recipient, I may lend to him at my discretion without interest. I may also lend to a brother in another congregation, or to a Christian anywhere. That is my discretion. And I may lend without interest. But here's an unsaved man, and he wants to borrow money from me. He has no connection with the faith whatsoever. And I say, look, I'll loan you the $1,000 at 10% interest. Why may I lend to an unbeliever, to a stranger, upon usury, and not upon a brother? The answer is this. Because usury is a form of dominion. It is a form of exercising control and bringing the wicked into submission. And God says that we may lawfully charge them interest. Now, I want you to understand this before I close today. That charitable loans, poor loans, are not entitlements. You understand that word? You know what the world thinks? The world thinks they are entitled to everything. Black, white, pink, purple, yellow, polka dot, it doesn't matter. We have raised a generation of people that believe the government owes them everything. They are entitled to it. Many of the governmental programs are called entitlement programs. And unlike biblical charity, the welfare state does not distinguish between the godly and the ungodly. They do not distinguish between the righteous and the unrighteous. They do not distinguish between covenant keeping and covenant breaking. In fact, if you are an unmarried single woman with five children by different men, you're going to be well off financially in our world today. In fact, if you want to have more children, they'll give you more money. If you want to be lazy and indolent and not work, you can get all kind of entitlement programs from the government. It doesn't matter to them whether or not someone is righteous or unrighteous, whether they're moral or immoral. Now listen, God's charity is based upon biblical law and biblical ethics. Biblical charity is morally conditional. I can only lend to those an interest-free loan who are morally upright. I am trying to subsidize and help the faithful and undergird the community of faith and the covenant. I am not going to help the lazy and the indolent and the rebellious and the wicked and the ungodly. Let me put it to you like this. The welfare state is to biblical charity what fornication is to biblical marriage. Let me put it another way. The welfare state is the bastardization and the corruption of biblical charity. You and I are not to give and to loan indiscriminately. We are to loan to the poor brethren discriminately, saying, yes, we understand that in the providence of God, you've come into hard times, and I'm willing to help you. But we do not just hand out loans willy-nilly to anybody and everybody. Now, let me just say this before I close. Although the Bible speaks disparagingly concerning debt, there are times when we must lend and be lent unto. Now, there are other regulations which I'm going to deal with, Lord willing, next week. But I want you to understand, it's just like these Bibles. I had rather be used of God to send those Bibles to the prisoners than be in prison and somebody be sending me a Bible. And I had rather be in a position to loan and to help a poor brother than to be in a position where somebody had to loan and to help me. You follow me? And I got news for you. It doesn't take but just a snap of God's providential finger for the roles to be reversed. And so God tells us, when we lend to the poor brethren, we're lending to Him. And whatever we give, He'll stand good for it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to Thee this day. We ask You to help us and build us up in the most holy faith. We do pray, Father, that You would stir us and help us to live for Thee, to do our best to stay out of debt and stay away from debt. And Lord, although there are some other regulations which we haven't given yet, I pray that You'll help us, Lord, to order our lives according to Thy truth, based upon that which we do know, and trust Thee, Lord, for every answer and every detail. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.